Morning. How are you? It's good. It's wonderful. Okay. Welcome. Let's give warm welcome to Kishaini and Priya. Where's Priya? Priya. Oh, right here. Okay. Been to Israel, been everywhere. And been missing for what, 6 weeks? Something like that. And they came back safely. So good to see you. That's right. Welcome Christine and Ernest right there. So yeah, give them a hand. Came from mission work in Sri Lanka. So you will hear from them in that special meeting. All right. I think this Wednesday Bible study, we're going to cover Romans chapter 3. We've studied Romans chapter 3, which is really heart of what Christ has done. We couldn't finish it, so we'll get back to it this week. We'll hopefully finish it, chapter 3. If you're coming, if you actually can really meditate on that, I think it'll really, really bless you and help you, and pray along the way that God will give you understanding. All right, so we're going through the Gospel of Luke. Let's look at Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We'll finish the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, which is a very, very special, a unique passage that actually give us glimpse of Jesus' boyhood. And we don't find anywhere in the scripture what Jesus was like as a boy. If I can get just a cup of water, that would be really good. Thank you. Steve, can you just give me? I got a dry mouth for some reason today. So let's read. All right. Jesus' boyhood. We're going to read from chapter 2, verse 39 all the way to 52. Okay. Are you ready? You can read with me if you can. All right, I'm going to read from New King James Version, verse 39, Luke chapter 2. So when they had performed all this according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. All right, so we're moving into the next stage of Jesus' life. Just the last week we saw Jesus' dedication as 1-month-year-old baby at the temple. And then after two unusual suspects and witnesses, older people who grow deep and in the spirit, who really grow advanced in their spiritual life as they advanced in the natural ages, they had given a very, very powerful witness to the coming of Jesus. In fact, not only witness, they were the causes that actually brought Jesus at the right time because they prepared their lives with prayers. And then after that, Joseph and Mary return to their hometown, Nazareth. And then there is no reference to their flight to Egypt as is in Matthew's gospel. And it's very interesting in Luke chapter 2, Luke describes Jesus' early life in three different Greek words. Okay, first one is baby in verse 16. And in Greek word, it's brephos. It's like when you are conceived from conception, from fetus to actual birth, same Greek word is used, baby. So when the shepherds came to, you know, Bethlehem and found Jesus as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, he is described as baby. And then verse 40, you know, verse 40, Jesus is described as a child, paideon, someone who can walk around. So that after Jesus was dedicated at the temple 1 month, they came back. And then from there to about age of 12, the Luke's gospel describes Jesus' development. And the word they used is paideon, child. And then the third word is pais. You know, you don't have to know all the Greek words, but it's now describing Jesus as a boy, as age 12 and upward, all the way. And after that, curtain closes. You don't see Jesus until he's fully grown as 30 years old. And this, the one more word is used that is to describe Jesus at the same time. When Mary calls Jesus and scolding him, he's calling child, or son, that is child, technon. Why did you treat us this way? So 12 years old all the way up to 30, is described here. So in this passage where we just read, we are seeing Jesus growing, his growth, his development as a child all the way to 12 and all the way. And we don't see him until he is aged 30. So, this passage describes the most important person in the world, Jesus, as a boy. Now, that is very, very special, you know, from about young to about 12 and beyond. And twice it describes, Luke describes Jesus' growth. So, verse 40 talks about Jesus' growth in full way. What a joy it is for, you know, for the parents to know and to see their children developing in every way. Jesus is developing in the spirit because he's growing strong in spirit. Like John the Baptist, he's got strong spirit and the grace of God is upon him. And he's growing physically. He's also growing mentally and intellectually, as you can see that Jesus is growing in wisdom, even as, you know, just a little child just able to walk, and from then on you grow. Jesus is growing every way. And to the parents, what a blessing it is to see the children growing physically and then mentally, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. And these things don't just happen naturally. Time doesn't cause all this natural growth. Time causes natural physical growth. At the age of for the boys, about 18, you stop growing. Girls, about 15, 16, you stop growing. But, you know, you grow. You grow intellectually, you grow spiritually, you grow relationally. Jesus' growth is just well-balanced in every way. So praise God. It's something that we can pray for our children as well as for us. You know, we must keep growing. It's very, very important. We can't stop growing. And there are areas in our life that has probably stunted in growth, and then we can, still grow. Anyway, the rest of the passage describes now Jesus about the age of 12. What was the Son of God like at the age 12? You know, isn't your curiosity aroused? Have you ever thought of Jesus? What were you like when you were little? 12, right? The Son of God, the sinless. What does a sinless person look like, think like, act like? You know, we say the boys are always, will be always boys. Well, Jesus. And it is astonishing to think that the Son of God went through the process of growing. There was a time when Jesus was little. There was a time when Jesus, you had to feed Jesus with a bottle. Well, not so much bottle in those days. And then you had to clean it up. You had to wash him. There was time when Jesus grew in wisdom, grew in interaction, grew physically, you know. And so there is a much curiosity, if you think about it. Veil is drawn out just very briefly here. And then just a tiny glimpse of what was Jesus was like as a boy, 12 year old. And, you know, I want to say beware of apocryphal books that describe Jesus' early years. There are plenty of people who are curious about Jesus' young days. And then plenty of people, they develop legends and myth. You can read about those things. And when you read it, as soon as you read it, it's, you know it's not true. There's a story about Jesus that created clay bird, like, you know, the children playing with a Play-Doh. And he blessed it and just it became bird and flew away. That's one of the legends and myth. Another one was that, you know, as a boy pushed Jesus into a ditch and Jesus cursed him with a leprosy just to teach him a lesson. You know, these stories are all crazy. It's more like, you know, North Korean Kim Jong-un story, right? Kim Jong-il has all these legends, you know. All these famous people or the dictators developed their own legends about it. But Jesus was, you know, none of those. The only story inside that's been taken and chosen by God to be shown to us, to be shared with us, is right here, contained in the Gospel of Luke and nowhere else. So this provides very, very valuable insight into the person or personality of Jesus. You know, memory of childhood is very, very important, very, very precious. We take lots of photos. I have, you know, since Nathan's birth, all my photos each year's. You know, I've got a file of each year, and somehow I was going, you know, 2013 Nathan, 14 Nathan, 15 Nathan, you know. And then after a while, I realized, you know, there are other photos there as well. So I, you know, I just put, you know, the years and put photos in there. You know, they grow up, right? And these memories are really, really important. We take lots of photos, and once they have fully grown, we sort of stop taking photos of them. Right? It becomes less, because they're growing and they haven't changed, right? You know, the precious memory, Jesus' growth, 18 years, or you know, from the birth to about age 30, except this one, 30 years of precious memory of Jesus. Reacting, interacting, you know, moving, talking, growing, and so on. It's permanently locked away in the memory of Mary and Joseph. This is the only glimpse that God has chosen to be told to all Christians. Why? Why is this so important? I want us to think about that. And then perhaps we can answer it towards the end. At least I'll give you my answer at the end of today. But the sound is very, very similar. You can see a mother who is frustrated, scolding a boy, and the father is in the background, just quietly watching all these things. You know, the sounds like very, very our story, right? Sounds like our family. So, Jesus at the temple, you know, why is this taken? One of the reasons is that the Jewish initiation starts, you know, every culture has the initiation, right? So in Australia, in the Western culture, when you turn 18, you're considered kind of almost like a full human being. And then when you turn 21, then you know, at that time, you are fully legally, you access everything. You are legally, criminally responsible for your action. You can be locked away. Just like everybody else in society, you get treated equal because your actions, you are fully responsible for your actions. For Jews, it was age, in those days, 12, and still age 13. When the boy turns 13 from 12, on that day, they do what you call bar mitzvah, right? This is the initiation. They still do this. And then after that initiation, they can become a full member of the synagogue. They can discuss the law. They can discuss the politics. They can disagree with rabbis. They have their own membership into their own church. They call it son of the commandment. So they become fully responsible. That's why at this time the curtain opens up very, very briefly, and then you can see as a child, boy, Jesus. What was in his heart? What was in his mind? What was he like? I could say that Jesus retained childlike faith all the time. But he was never childish, self-centered. And I'm talking about myself and all of us. We can grow. The time doesn't grow us out of childishness. It takes growth to grow out of childishness. You can't scold ourselves out of childishness, self-centeredness, right? But on the grace of God, we grow in Christ. And that's very, very important. Now, Luke records now, all the male Jews were required to attend the temple three times a year, once in the Passover, and then Pentecost, and the tabernacle. I give you all the reference in the notes, so you can download it and study. In Jesus' days, normally, attending all three feasts, because Jews were scattered all over the Roman Empire, was very, very hard for the most people who are scattered. So most of them are trying to make at least one of them. So, Jesus, being devout, law-abiding, you know, Jews, the citizens, and the people of God, that Joseph and Mary went up to Jerusalem every year observing the law to attend Passover. And the Passover lasts about 7 days. I'll give you again all the details so you can look it up. I won't talk about it now. From the beginning of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, they will come and attend and celebrate that the freedom, spiritual freedom that God and the physical freedom God had worked in their midst by the Passover lamb, Passover. They celebrate for 7 days and they come back, okay? It is possible, I'm just raising a question, could it be that Jesus turned 13 during this Passover? I don't know. It's an interesting conjecture. Passover commemorated the deliverance of the nation of Israel. So is our communion table, which we will come together next week. Every time we get together in communion table, we remember that we are freed from sin because of the perfect sacrifice of the blood covenant. Blood sacrifice has been offered through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? As from childhood all the way up, every year, the whole family, they move down to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. This is significant because Jesus, including this year and the year before and the year before, all the way, and then year after, that he would have seen what you call Paschal lamb, Passover lamb being slaughtered, and the blood shed to cover over the sins of God's people, Israel, every year. He would attend it. See, it's a prophetic. It will give him a strong message. See, he would have seen how the lamb's throat is cut, blood shed as a sin offering. Now, then how they traveled at the time, because there's a little incident that happened that really panics parents, right? Because they lost Jesus on the way back. How they traveled, women and children went ahead, about 5-10 miles ahead, and the men, the grown men, were traveling from behind. So the women and the little children below 12, or up to 12, They're moving ahead with luggages and tents and everything. Men follow behind at a slower pace, chatting about all the important things in life, deep political, important, spiritual things in life, arrive just in time for the evening meal. It was a good old days. No, bad days. Bad or good, I don't know. That was the custom. So not many people are smiling or laughing. Okay, that's all right. Okay. I hope the temperature doesn't drop right here. Boys up to 12, okay, so went with the mother. Boys after 13, or the grown-up ones, they come with the father. So what was happening? Usually, up to this point, Jesus will travel with mother. But on the way back, they will expect Jesus to travel with the father. So Mary will think, oh, Jesus must be with the father. The father will think Jesus must be with the mother. They go full day's journey thinking that each other's got Jesus. And then they arrived, you know, one day's journey. So let's say slower pace, about 18 kilometers or something like that, that's probably they will arrive at around Jericho. Jericho to go up this way. And then, you know that Jericho Road, you're famous for difficult, you know, bandits. And do you remember the Good Samaritan story? You can look it up. It's very, very rugged and dry. So, you know, bandits could, you know, hide and then attack. Anyway, after one day, father arrived, mother set the tent, and they're looking for Jesus among the relatives. He's not there. Uh-oh, what happened? He's left behind. So they are going back. Can you imagine them chatting? Oh, no, Jesus is not here. Ah, you get lost. Oh, no, they're coming back. And, you know, mother is really angry. You know, why? And you can imagine, you know, father is saying, don't worry, he's all grown up now. He's 12 years old, you know, he should be all right. Going back all the way, one day it took them to get to Jerusalem. And then in Jerusalem, they are looking for Jesus in all the normal suspect places where 12-year-old be. And they can't find him anywhere. Can you imagine the blood pressure going up? You know, it's just the revelation. When you find in a day's journey, have Jesus been sidetracked in this Jericho road? And they can't find Jesus all the way. They finally arrive in Jerusalem thinking, here, we will find him. He's not anywhere. Where were they looking? I think my experience, I'll be looking for Jesus or my son at Toys R Us or EB Games, you know, usually, or JB Hi-Fi. That's where I'll go. They must have gone to the equivalent of Toys R Us, EB Games, JB Hi-Fi, everywhere. Jesus is not there. Finally, I mean, their emotion is moving from fear, frustration, and guilt to just fright, fear, what happened? To now panic. Uh-oh, Jesus is not here. Jesus wasn't on the road. They're thinking about what could have happened in Jericho Road. All kinds of things. So now they are in panic. Finally, they decided, okay, let's go to the last place where we saw Jesus, which is the temple. So they went there, and there they found Jesus sitting among the rabbis, asking questions, listening, learning, discussing the word of God. And all the rabbis are astonished at Jesus' wisdom and insight into the ways of God and the truth way beyond his age. So that's where Jesus was. So there's a little hint. I mean, I used to get lost a lot as a child. Even now, I lost Nathan once. You know the panic when you lose even for a little while, right? Mary must have felt so guilty. I mean, God entrusted her with the Son of God and she lost him for 3 days. What? You know, so what do you do when you lose your child? Pray. Go to the place where you saw him last, right? That's, I think, what they've done. Okay? So now, Jesus finds him. And she says this, son. Now, she's saying, calling him child, technon. Child, why have you done this? See, clearly Mary is scolding Jesus. Mother's instinct is coming up, right? Why have you literally treated us this way? Why? You know how much pain you caused. You must have... You child, why have you done this to us? And she says, look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Your father, who is she talking about? Joseph. Okay? And then if she is anything like, I don't know, I think it's every culture, but especially Asians, She would have gone on asking two more questions, I think. What did you eat? For 3 days, what did you eat? Who fed you? And then, where did you sleep for 3 nights on your own? Can you imagine 12-year-old boy? I mean, you know, I thought about 12-year-old is about probably year seven. Year seven, you just went into high school, thereabout. You know, still very boyish. So Jews, they don't have any teenager sort of thing. We've created this whole teenage years of, you know, rebellion, revolution. Do whatever we can get away with it because we are teenagers. But just 12, before you become 13, get them and make you responsible. So, no teenagers. Very smart. But this is what they've done. Yeah, they asked. Now, and then Jesus replies, very interesting, why did you seek me? Just as much as parents were surprised, it seems that Jesus is surprised because it seems that Jesus is asking them, maybe, perhaps Jesus thought maybe that's the reason why they brought Jesus to the temple at the age of 12. Why? Because remember from last week, when they dedicated Jesus as a baby to God, did they redeem Jesus with 5 shekels of silver or not? There is no record of them redeeming the firstborn son with 5 shekels of silver so they can have them back. What was Samuel? Samuel was like that. He was dedicated at birth one way. Didn't redeem back with 5 shekels of silver. As a boy, Samuel stayed in the temple and ministered to God before his presence day and night. They didn't redeem Jesus back. Jesus was given one way, all the way, to be God's, to serve God as a boy, but they forgot. It seems to me how often we dedicate something to God and we forget. God does not forget. Even the prayers you pray 10 years ago, 20 years ago, Lord, I dedicate my life to you, and says, okay, it's now mine. And then we complain, no, I take it back. Why do you use me this way? Anyway, Jesus expected. He was ready to minister to God, to be in the house of God. All right? And then he said this, very interesting. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, in Greek, in the original language, you can take it two ways. To be in my Father's house, that's a temple, that is like, why didn't you seek me in the temple in the first place? This is my Father's house. This is where my Father is. You'll find me here. Or you can say, Father's business, see? When the boy become 12, become adults, he becomes a full, he goes into the father's business in those days. So if your father is a carpenter, the son is the carpenter. That's why you have all these names, you know, the baker or shoemaker, who is really good at driving. Anyone, all the names, right? Because whatever the father's trade was your trade, and when you turn 12 or when you turn 13, you enter into legal partnership with the father's work. So Jesus is saying that I have now turned 12. Hallelujah! I can now go about my father's business. I want to learn my father's business. I want to work and do his will. I'm ready. And it's very interesting. Again, see? Mary is saying, your father and me, meaning Joseph. What did Jesus reply? Jesus said, my father's business, my father's house. It looks to me that Mary never breathed a word about the secret of Jesus' birth. But Jesus knew who his heavenly father was. He didn't have the earthly father. He had a heavenly father. At the age of 12 now, he can enter into the father's business. And that's where his heart was set. that this is the very first recorded words of Jesus. And he says, my father's house, my father's business. At the age of 30 to 33, Jesus again and again says, I came to do my father's will. On the cross, Jesus says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. See, at the age of 12, you can see the incredible insight into Jesus' love for his father. At the age of 12, he knew who his father was. At the age of 12, he knew what his life was all about. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew where he wanted to be. As a man with such clarity, 12 years old. And that heart, he carried all the way through to the cross. That heart never changed. That focus never changed. Isn't that incredible? 12. 12. How old are we? Most of us, over 12, do we know what we want? Do we know where we want to be? Do we know what we want to do? What our life purpose and direction is all about? See, this is the glimpse of Jesus' youth. Now, the Bible says, what was Mary's and Joseph's response? Everybody say, duh. Because Bible said they did not understand. They didn't understand. Why did you? Where did you eat? What? Where did you sleep? What did you eat? My father's business. Jesus says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You keep at it at the father's business. He takes care of you. He teaches everybody. You know, he's not just teaching a theory. He lived it from the age 12 all the way. You set your heart to do the will of God, God will look after your needs. Amen? But they didn't understand it, see, until much later. They didn't understand the statement which Jesus spoke to them until much, much, much later. Jesus was ready to do the will of God, ready to serve God, ready to be in the house of God, ready to join the father's business, but the parents weren't. They didn't understand it. Mary certainly wasn't ready to leave Jesus so early. So what did Jesus do? Now I'm 12 years old. I can make my own decision since my parents are so dull of hearing. I'm going to pack up and just go and do exercise my full freedom apart from them, no? Is that what Jesus said? He was ready. But what did Jesus do? He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Obeyed, learned obedience to parents who are thick. Didn't understand what Jesus was saying. It's very interesting. Very interesting. How long was he subject to them? Next 18 years. What was Jesus doing? Being tied down to limited circumstances for 18 years. No preaching, no miracles, just carpentry. Day in, day out, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, what we call. Doing and dealing and working with his hands, dealing with difficult people in the business and all kinds of things, you know. And most probably Joseph, his father, his earthly, his father, died early, which means that the responsibility of family business and taking care of the family comes on the firstborn son, Jesus, as a young boy. And it's not a small family, you know. Jesus had at least 4 other brothers and sisters and the mother, probably with a family of about 10. Responsibility came down on Jesus early. He had to get up early, work with his hands. So does that mean Jesus' next years were wasted? Does it? What was Jesus doing? Bible exactly says what he did for next 18 years. You know what he did? He grew. He grew more. He grew. He grew in every way, in his physical more stature, in wisdom. He already had wisdom, but even more. And in favor with God and favor with men. Now, Bible doesn't record. Now, what would you do if you're a son of God? You have all the power in the world. You enter into business. What will be your growth? Make your business, you know, like Amazon or Google or huge business of Nazareth that takes over the world using all the cheap laborers. And I mean, the Bible doesn't record any of his entrepreneurship or success in business. He worked and he did support the family. Jesus supported the family. Then what is the aspect of growth that God was looking at? I mean, the Bible doesn't really record his business growth. And in fact, I don't think, it doesn't seem like he had a huge cooperation out of Nazareth, you know, made in Nazareth, designed by Jesus. New table, new ways of, you know, IKEA. No, what was the thing that God recorded? Can you look at verse 40 and then verse 52? See, verse 40 talks about early childhood, and verse 52 talks about his boyhood, 12 years on all the way of his growth until he reappears. Is there the difference? Is there something that is recorded in his boyhood about his growth that is not recorded in his childhood? Can anybody guess? I saw it yesterday. You won't find it in commentary. Anybody? Jesus, early child, as a toddler and so on, his spiritual growth, he was strong in the spirit, his physical growth, and his mental growth, emotional growth, all that is there. What is not there, but that is here in the boyhood onwards, is his relational growth. Jesus grew in favor with God and favor with men. Relational growth. It's a certain kind of relational growth can come after a certain age, right? As a baby, you can have certain intellectual and so on. Relational growth comes after a certain age. In fact, that is what marks your maturity of where you are at. And it's instead of Jesus going off into doing wonderful, exciting, miracle-working things, that as he began to go and become, learn to be a son, a good son. Learn to be a son in the house. Learn to submit to the parents. Learn to be a good brother to his siblings, providing for them, being there. You know, that is much harder than go out there, you know, to preach and then come back. I am going to Indonesia next Sunday after the service, and it's going to be a very large meeting of 2,500 youth and the largest church in. But that's much, much easier than being a good husband and good father and a good brother. 18 years, Jesus grew in relationship, deep relationship with God in intimacy, and relational maturity, learning to love normal people, simple people, in fact, dealing with people in the business for 18 years, and his ministry lasts 3 years. You know the ratio? 6 to 1. 6 to 1. And this is when Jesus grew relationally, deeper with God and deeper with men. In fact, this is, I believe, a major area of growth that the church needs today. Amen? So are you growing? Are you growing? spiritually, mentally, physically. Some of you are. Most of you have stopped growing physically. In fact, most of us are slightly shrinking. But are you growing relationally? Because that's the one that goes with you for the rest of your life. The areas of different relationship, actually, emphasis changes as you grow. But all of them are important before God. That what makes you a man and woman of God. See? On that day, God will not ask you what you achieved. What have you done? What business did you do? Or, you know, what did you achieve? How many people did you preach to? He's not going to ask for that. He is going to ask for what you have become. Most of our desires, our growth, our prayers are on our business, influence, size. But very few are actually taking relational growth very seriously because it doesn't show. So what kind of have you grown this year? I want to, because, you know, if you stop growing, there's no point to living. It really isn't, because you failed this year. If you haven't grown in God, you failed. I don't care if you made lots of money. It's good for you. God bless you. I'm happy for you. But those things are very surface and external. What God is looking for is growth. Are you growing as a husband? Are you growing as a wife? Because there we can grow. Because when you stop growing, are you growing as a son? Are you growing as a daughter? Because we can grow. We don't just demand, you change. No, you grow. You grow. What kind of Christian are you at work? Growth. See, this is where the painful growth happens, but this is where the Son of God, Bible says, learn obedience. That's how it was perfected. So are you wasting? How many feel you're wasting? Because unless you're, you know, name or do this and that, sometimes you feel you are wasting your life. None of you are wasting your life. None of you are. No matter how mundane your work is, no matter how uneventful your life may seem, so long as you are growing with God, in God, growing with one another. Amen? So why did Luke include this particular story? Because I think it is just as it is more important that we, who we are, is more important than what we do. It is equally important that we begin with who Jesus is rather than what he did or what he taught. See, otherwise we will not understand why he taught what he taught, why he did what he did. Because in this story there is no miracle, no great sermon, nothing. You just see the heart of a 12-year-old boy and his heart is for the love of the Father. And his heart is to love his mother, his brothers, who are most probably very poor. He grew up in a poor environment. They learn to work and sacrifice. Learn to love in a costly way, in a mundane way, people that are close to him. And in fact, that is the growth, I believe, precisely God is looking for. That is the growth that becomes part of who we are, that we take with us for the rest of eternity. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for showing who Jesus is before what he did. What he taught. 12-year-old boy Jesus knew who he was, where he wants to be. It's all about the Father, all about loving. That's who Jesus is. Thank you, Father. Jesus is a perfect humanity. What an inspiring human and God, our Lord Jesus Christ is. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. Give us desire. Right kind of desire. In fact, Lord, we pray, Lord, that in this new Hebrew calendar year, we pray that all of us will grow in the areas, especially those areas that had been stunted in relationship, that may have caused grief to our Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you will cause us to grow into more perfect, into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Jesus grew in both wisdom and in spirit and favor with God and favor with men. And Father, we thank you that your favor rests upon your people right now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Lord bless you. I'm sorry about taking. We just running a little bit late. Long service, but coffee and tea is right at the back, and we will start. What time are we going to start with your discussion?